Welcome to the Michael Rivero What Really Happened radio program.
And aloha, America. Welcome to our show today. It is Monday, January 10th, 2011. We have got so much stuff to talk about today. We're going to be talking, of course, about the tragedy now in Arizona. We're going to be talking about some revelations from the planet Mars, courtesy of Viking, a little kind of a personal gloat on my part. Mostly, though, I want to lead off the show here talking about the continuing fallout from last Friday's Massachusetts State Supreme Court decision regarding the validity of foreclosures processed through the mortgage electronic registration system. If the bankers thought we were going to forget all about that because of the tragedy down in Arizona, they were wrong. It is spreading all over the place. Good work to the Rivero's Rangers who are keeping the story alive. The Washington Post covered it today. This is going to get major because the banks have indicated they're going to fight this thing tooth and nail by hook or by crook. And what is really amazing is they don't even care about the pretense of what is moral or right or just or fair. This is, each side is in there to cut the other side's heart out and eat it, and the American people are basically not even a factor anymore, which I think is a good object lesson for those who still cling to the idea that the government and the banks are somehow working for you. They aren't. We're seeing a civil war emerge among the nobility up there. All right, our phone lines are open, 800-313-9443, 800-313-9443. Man is in the control room answering the phone calls. And I want to do a shout-out to our audience listening on WWCR Shortwave Radio, 13.845 megahertz, although obviously if you're hearing my voice, you've already found that number. And I mention it because over the weekend I started getting email from people who are listening over shortwave. So they are using the frequency, and they're saying the signal is pretty much clear all across the continental United States of America. I've been able to just barely pick it up out here in Hawaii, by adding a coat hanger onto the top of my portable shortwave radio. But it is nice to know the signal's getting out. It is nice to know that people are listening to it, and I'm just absolutely overjoyed about that. All right, so for the first part of the show, I think it can be summarized by saying, Fear and Loathing on Wall Street, which is an homage to Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas from Hunter S. Thompson. The implications of the Ibanez court ruling are just now becoming apparent to all. The banks are absolutely terrified that this thing is going to take off, that Show Me the Note is going to become the rallying cry for Americans who are tired of having their homes looted, to help Wall Street bail itself out of the fraudulent mortgage-backed security. And I've been hammering this point for months now. The foreclosures and fraud closures are only a symptom. The heart of the scandal goes back to the fraudulent mortgage-backed securities themselves. Wall Street went on a binge selling these things to everybody, made tons and tons of money, bought themselves $100,000 wristwatches and $150 hamburgers, and figured the losses would get dumped on the American people because that's what you do in a fascist economic state. Only now, all of a sudden, all these banks around the world, all these pension funds, including here in the United States, private pension funds that are not subordinate to the will of the government to give Bank of America a get-out-of-jail-free card, they're all coming back and saying, you sold us fraudulent goods. At the very least, the mortgages that you put in these bundled securities did not come up to the underwriting standards you told us that you had adhered to. These were bad mortgages to begin with. In the worst case, we know from Bear Stearns, the same mortgages were being resold over and over again into multiple mortgage-backed securities. That's absolute criminal fraud. It is a huge, huge mess. And all of these companies that got rich selling these mortgage-backed securities, they're having to buy them back, and they're having to reconcile the credit default swaps. And the losses are going into the billions and trillions of dollars. What they've been doing is dumping the losses on you. Okay? And the government is helping them to do it. The government had to make a choice between taking care of the American people and taking care of the bankers. The government, the federal government, and in many cases the state governments have come down saying, well, we got to take care of the banks. They got the money. We're going to suck up to them. And so we're seeing this looting of the American people to help the bankers get out of the consequences of the fraud. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back.
estrogen dominance, a brand new 20th century disease, a phrase coined by Dr. John R. Lee 35 years ago. Dr. Lee proved that all the estrogen that is coming from food and water is having a devastating effect on our health. The rapid rise in breast cancer, uterine cancer, prostate cancer, weight gain, osteoporosis, feminizing of our boys and early puberty of our girls, and also the destruction of natural killer cell function. Natural killer cells are our only protection from cancer and viral infection. Dr. Lee found that using natural progesterone, about 20 milligrams per day, would not only reverse osteoporosis, but would greatly reduce the cancer issues, as well as dozens of other health challenges we face today. Visit our website, healthlinkamerica.com, to order the DVD on hormone imbalance. Learn how hormone imbalance destroys the immune system and get started on natural progesterone and Cyto-S. It will not only change your life, it may in fact save your life. Once again, that website is healthlinkamerica.com.
Don't answer it!
If fear strikes your heart when the phone rings, knowing it may be another bill collector, it's time for you to call Zero Debt in 90 Days. 800-477-9256. Settlements, bankruptcy, and attorneys are not the answer and may end up costing you up to 10 times more than necessary. Listen, if you're already in debt, does it make sense to get buried in another payment plan? Zero Debt in 90 Days gets you out of debt in 90 days guaranteed without a payment plan and without attorneys or going to court. Get the fastest relief from debt on the planet when you call 800-477-9256. If you have debt with the IRS, credit cards, student loans, or a foreclosure, we can help at Zero Debt in 90 Days, and we are the only organization to provide written guarantees on the results. Go to ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com. That's ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com. Or call now for free information. 800-477-9256. That's 800-477-9256.
Attention RBN listeners. The Freeze-Dry Guy, providing the finest in long-term storage food since 1970. Today, the U.S. military and the U.S. submarine service enjoy using these products extensively. In actual scientific tests, these foods typically maintain their high nutritional value in excess of 30 years. These foods are delicious tasting, hearty, light to carry, and easy to prepare under the most adverse conditions. Unfortunately, many people building a family food storage program, as well as many companies providing emergency feeding programs, simply do not give you enough protein, especially animal protein. No other food satisfies like animal protein during stressful times. If you're a meat eater, you will definitely want our freeze-dried meats and entrees, but we do offer vegetarian items as well. Visit freezedryguide.com or call 866-404-FOOD, 866-404-3663. Freeze Dry Guy, the best you can buy.
You can burn up our mosques and our homes and our schools, but our spirit will never die. We will not go down in Gaza tonight.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show here. We're talking about the implications of last Friday's Massachusetts State Supreme Court ruling on the Ibanez case, which basically said that the foreclosure practices being followed by the banks are illegal. And the banks that are presenting a note but not the title, or foreclosure companies presenting a title but no note, have no standing to sue to foreclose. They must have both. And as Tracy Long, the foreclosure attorney who was on our show last Friday, and we're going to have him back on Wednesday, by the way, to follow up on this thing, he was saying, the whole problem with this mortgage electronic registration system is it's separated the title from the note legally, and they lost track of each other, which is why you have these horror stories of people who are up to date on their mortgages being foreclosed now. It's a complete nightmare mess, and they don't know how to fix it. All they know how to do is pay the losses and transfer the losses onto you by grabbing as many homes as they can to put on their balance sheets to recapitalize. Now, the corporate media is finally starting to deal with this. Washington Post came out with an article and was rather telling about the headline. Massachusetts court ruling has potential to void thousands of foreclosures. That is understating it, to say the very least. When you read into the article, they say, well, it might void thousands of foreclosures inside the state of Massachusetts, which is definitely true. What they're not mentioning, of course, is that this ruling will be cited as precedent in every other state of the union. in lawsuits to block foreclosures by these foreclosure mills who are not complying with real estate law. Now, the Washington Post, and again, the corporate media, they're on the side of the bankers. They're going to try and downplay this and say, oh, it's the homeowner's fault, and it's really no big deal, and it's just a paperwork deficiency issue, and haven't we all had some of those? And they're going to keep on pushing that whole situation. But what's going on here is they do admit inside this article that if enough states start filing these kind of show-me-the-note lawsuits, and it's going to happen, has to happen. It's inevitably going to happen. The cat is out of the bag. Everybody knows this is what's going on. And so the Washington Post is saying, well, this may wind up in the United States Supreme Court. Well, that's a very glib kind of an explanation, and they may be trying to set the stage for the U.S. Supreme Court to say, well, you know, it's a mess, but we're going to retroactively legalize everything the bankers have done, and too bad if Americans lose their home, but that's what keeps America great, or whatever the nonsense is. But there's a little bit of a problem, because up until this point, again, as Tracy Long was telling us all, the general practice is that real estate law is under the jurisdiction of the state governments. It has never really been made a federal issue before. So for the U.S. Supreme Court to step in there is going to give the public impression of the federal government coming in, interfering with the states again for the benefit of the private bankers. And given the extreme unhappiness of the American people with the federal government right now, there's only so many more times the federal government can be seen coming in to loot the American people for the benefit of Wall Street before the people are really going to start getting angry and upset about it. And I know a lot of people are going to say, are you encouraging what happened in Arizona? No, I'm not. I think it was extremely stupid. Okay? But I'm not surprised, especially given this guy's history of mental imbalance. And we'll talk about that a little bit later in the show. Everybody's pointing fingers at that one and saying, oh, this person did it. No, this group, this party, this, you know, and it's amazing. And I have a comment about that I want to get into. But I want to stay with this foreclosure situation. This is going to kick off thousands more of these lawsuits. You know, this show me the note situation is the salvation of Americans. And I know we're going to start seeing more and more of these articles about, well, we shouldn't try and save these homes from foreclosures because, after all, it's the homeowner's fault. They bought those mortgages when they couldn't afford them. Well, they could afford them when they bought them. Then the U.S. government turns around, hands tax credits to corporations to encourage the offshoring of high-paying American jobs to other countries. In other words, this is the short version. The U.S. government took your jobs so the banks could take your homes to recapitalize their balance sheet after having to make good on all those fraudulent mortgage-backed securities. In other words, Wall Street, you know, basically got involved in criminality and fraud, and Alan Greenspan is on videotape admitting that. In fact, let me play that quote for you.
Things were being done which were certainly illegal and clearly criminal in certain cases, which, I mean, fraud is a fact. Fraud creates very considerable instability in competitive markets. If you cannot trust your counterparties, it won't work. And indeed, we saw that it didn't.
And basically, that's it in a nutshell. They're admitting that the financial system of the United States is engaged in fraud and criminality, and they got caught. And their solution now is to basically make the American people cover the losses by taking their homes and putting them on the balance sheet. That the reason the mortgage-backed mortgage modification program failed utterly is two reasons. One, the banks and mortgage servicing companies actually make more money taking your homes than by working with you to keep you in them. Second, from the bank's point of view, that they need that money now. That monthly payment you're making for the next 15 to 20 years doesn't do them any good in terms of staying out of jail now. They need the entire value of your home on their balance sheet or they're going to be insolvent. And that's what's been going on. That's why you see homes being foreclosed on that are not even behind on their mortgage payments. You're seeing homes being foreclosed on don't even have a mortgage. It's just a cash grab. It's wealth confiscation. It is exactly what Roosevelt did in 1933 with the gold. Only this time it's being done with this covert, roundabout kind of a way to trick, to fool the American people into thinking it's their own fault, they've lost everything. It isn't. The essence of a fascist economic state is profits are kept private, and losses are dumped on the general population. And that's exactly what's been happening here in the United States for the last 10 years. The corporations that are making money, they get to keep it. They get to buy the $100,000 wristwatches and the $800,000 Bucatis. And they get to live the high life. And they just think it's really the way the world is supposed to be. But when corporations lose money because they get caught engaging in fraud, they go to the government and say, we need a bailout. And the government says, sure, don't worry. Those wonderful American taxpayers, they are so generous and they've got money to burn. We'll just take it from them and give it to you. And we get TARP and bailout and all these other little programs and euphemisms, which now total an estimated between 14 and 16 trillion with a T dollars. That's a vast amount of money. Get out your pocket calculator and divide $14 trillion by the population of the United States of America, and you will see how much has been taken from you. And maybe you haven't paid it yet, but they're going to force you to pay it in the future, plus the accruing interest. Now, Citigroup is looking at a $22 billion loss on mortgage putbacks. That may be an understatement. That's to clear the current known mortgage fraud. It's $22 billion. There's probably other fraud out there that has yet to be discovered, because people are still going through the paperwork and trying to find out where everything is. And that does not even begin to touch the problem with the derivatives. We all know the derivatives are a huge nightmare out there somewhere. And a big part of those derivatives are the credit default swaps attached to the mortgage-backed securities. We don't know how big that number is. All we know is that if the banks are forced to stop confiscating your homes by the courts, they will be insolvent. And so this is going to provoke a constitutional crisis here. All righty, let's see. And it's not just the bankers, because there is a pension fund coalition, a number of these pension funds. Remember, it wasn't just bankers and investors that were buying these mortgage-backed securities. A lot of pension funds bought them. And the pension funds are now going broke because the mortgage-backed securities have collapsed. We ran a story over the weekend where old people whose pensions have evaporated, they're killing themselves. They're committing suicide. They don't have any money. They either kill themselves or they starve to death. They're being made homeless. Their lives have been ruined. They have worked their entire lives, paid into the pension fund. The pension fund invested in the mortgage-backed securities. The mortgage-backed securities turned out to be fraudulent. The pensions evaporate. People are dying because of this fraud. Wall Street has blood on its hands, up to its elbows. So anyhow, there's this pension fund coalition. It amounts to about $432 billion. That's half a trillion just in this lump alone. It's led by the New York comptroller. And it's basically gone to the banks and say, you will immediately examine all of your foreclosure practices. Okay? And this has been directed at Bank of America and at Citigroup and J.P. Morgan Chase and Wells Fargo. And, of course, these banks are going to fight back with their lawyers saying it's none of your business how we're foreclosing on the homes. I mean, Bank of America, which inherited a huge mess from Countrywide, and if they were not aware of what they were getting from Countrywide, then it's their fault for not doing the due diligence. But they're basically, you know, they're going out there aggressively foreclosing on people, and at the same time their lawyers are turning around and basically saying that the institutions that these mortgage-backed securities were sold to don't have standing to sue, and they're going to fight it tooth and nail. And like I said at the top of the show, the pretense of what is right, moral, just, and fair is completely gone. You know, this is a street brawl between this group of money over here and this group of money over here. And unfortunately, the problem here is that the U.S. government, by and large, has a vested financial interest in supporting the bankers against the American people. And that's a danger sign we got to look out for. All right, we're coming down to the end of a segment here. We've got a caller on the line we're going to get to as soon as we come back from this next commercial break here. Phone number is 800-313-9443, 800-313-9443. Manny's in the control room answering the phones. We're going to continue talking about this financial swindle for most of the rest of this hour. I know people want to talk about the tragedy in Arizona, and we will get to it. But this is the big story. Not Arizona, this is the big story. We'll be right back.
Do you need help getting your child to behave? I'm behavioral therapist James Lehman, and I'm willing to give away thousands of my best-selling total transformation programs for free. All you do is tell us how the program works for you and your family. Did it turn around your child's behavior? Did the screaming and arguing stop in your home? Is he doing better in school? The total transformation has helped hundreds of thousands of families. I want to see what it can do for you, and I'm willing to let you have it for free. Just order my program, use it with your child, then send me your feedback. I'll refund the purchase price of the program. You keep the Total Transformation Program forever, for free. You don't have to struggle with your child's bad behavior one more day, because now you can try my Total Transformation, and the program will be free.
Limited number of free programs available. Call now. 1-800-583-1093. 1-800-583-1093. That's 1-800-583-1093.
Introducing IXL Anti-Friction Metal Conditioner. IXL works at the molecular level to reduce friction by penetrating into and bonding onto the microscopic openings of the walls of ferrous base metals. The surfaces become smoother and denser, and this reduces the heat, friction, metal expansion, and wear caused by moving metal surfaces. The benefits are reduced maintenance activities and cost, increased fuel efficiency, and prolonged equipment life. It will not clog filters, pipes, injectors, or supply lines, does not build up or accumulate upon itself as do many other additives. IXL does not contain moly, PTFE, or graphites. Also offers the tremendous benefits of being non-toxic. It's used for friction reducer and performance enhancer in gas or diesel engines, transmissions, automatic or standard gearboxes, turbos, electric motors, outdrives, lathe, and cutting applications. Go to republicbroadcasting.org, then to our online store, or call us at 800-724-2719. That's 800-724-2719.
Don't answer it!
If fear strikes your heart when the phone rings, knowing it may be another bill collector, it's time for you to call Zero Debt in 90 Days. 800-477-9256. Settlements, bankruptcy, and attorneys are not the answer and may end up costing you up to 10 times more than necessary. Listen, if you're already in debt, does it make sense to get buried in another payment plan? Zero Debt in 90 Days gets you out of debt in 90 days guaranteed without a payment plan and without attorneys or going to court. Get the fastest relief from debt on the planet when you call 800-477-9256. If you have debt with the IRS, credit cards, student loans, or a foreclosure, we can help at Zero Debt in 90 Days, and we are the only organization to provide written guarantees on the results. Go to ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com. That's ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com. Or call now for free information. 800-477-9256. That's 800-477-9256.
What this country is coming to, I sure would like to know. If they don't do something by and by, the rich will live and the poor will die. Doggone, I mean the panic is on.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show. I'm already getting some nasty emails saying, oh, you should be talking about Congresswoman Giffords. That's the important story and everything like that. No, it isn't. I'm sorry. It's tragic. I feel bad for the families of the victims. But around here, we adhere to Rivero's rule of the news. And the news is, real news, is that which is affecting your life. As tragic as it is, what happened in Arizona is not affecting the lives of all Americans. It's being pounded on and exploited for news value and propaganda purpose by various political agendas. But it doesn't affect our lives. This mortgage-backed security fraud does and has affected all of us, all of us. You know, the worst terrorist in the world, even with an atomic weapon, could not have destroyed as many American lives as Wall Street and the U.S. Congress did over the last 10 years. I mean, think about it. You know, ooh, Osama bin Laden, 4,000 people dead at the World Trade Towers. You know, horrible statistic. How many millions of Americans have been made homeless? How many of them are dying slowly of frostbite this cold, horrendous winter? How many are starving to death? How many are committing suicide? The World Trade Towers was one building complex. Look at how many homes sit empty and decaying across America. Let us get a sense of scale. Osama bin Laden, even if he was still alive, in his wildest terroristic wet dream, could not have even begun to do as much damage to America as Wall Street and the United States Congress did. We're going to go to the phones. Frank in Missouri. Aloha, Frank. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hello, Mike. Just a comment and a question for you. I'm a firefighter here in Missouri, and
good for
on the
you.
Pension deal. Thank you. On the pension deal, you know, I got 3 years left until I can retire, and I've thought often, man, should I retire now, take an early pension, and get my money and run, or you know, wait out 3 years and get, you know, we get 65%, 70% after 25 years. But that was my comment, and my question is, I have a mortgage, and it's up to date, but you know. What's your suggestion? Should we investigate our mortgages? Or, you know, I've had my mortgage with Countrywide and Bank of America. You know, how do I know they even have clear title to it anymore?
Yeah, well, you actually don't. And I'm going to say that you need to talk to an attorney who is an expert in foreclosures. I know that the mortgage electronic registration system ostensibly now has public access through a web browser so you can find out who does have your title and your note and your mortgage. But, you know, especially if you're with Countrywide and Bank of America, they're in a huge mess. And at some point, they're going to be invoking, you know, their right to foreclose and calling the loans all at once. I think I could be wrong.
Even though we're up to date?
Even though you're up to date, I believe there is a clause in most mortgages where the bank, if it so chooses, can say, you got to pay back the money now instead of waiting for the plan thing. But I'm not the person to talk to. Again, Tracy Long is a good person to be talking with. And I'll tell you what, he's going to be on the show on Wednesday. Can you call back with that? Because that's a really good question that I think we need an answer to.
Yeah, I will. I always hear about people talking about being foreclosed on, but about, you know, there's a lot of people that are up to date, and it has ran through my mind that, you know, could they call the loan due? You know, even
well,
though we've been paying?
It changes from one to the other, but we do know that there have been homes foreclosed that were not in arrears just through all of this fraud closure clerical error. There were a couple of homes foreclosed on, didn't even have a mortgage to begin with. It's that reckless and out of control. The goal here isn't to get people to pay their mortgages. The goal is wealth confiscation. That's the name of the game, because without your homes on their balance sheets, the banks are going to start collapsing. And if this Massachusetts State Supreme Court decision, you know, is implied, is assumed to be the law of the land, if it starts being used as a precedent in all 49 other states, then the banks are going to start collapsing because they've got the expectation of those foreclosed homes values on their balance sheets now as income, you know, due but yet to be received. And, you know, it's a huge mess. If they can't steal Americans' homes, they're going to collapse from the cost from this mortgage-backed security fraud.
Okay, Mike. Thanks a lot. I'll call back in Wednesday.
Yeah, please do. Again, I'm not an attorney. I haven't even played one on television. So for those kind of questions, save them up. And on Wednesday, Tracy Long will be joining us again, and he is the man to go to for these kinds of questions. My understanding is that on a large number of mortgages, in the fine print, there is a clause that allows the bank to arbitrarily, on their own recognizance, to say, we're sorry, we need you to pay the loan off now or we're going to take your home. So we got to keep an eye out for that kind of stuff right now here. All righty, so let's see. Nobody sitting on the phone line. Basically, Catherine Porter over at the Ohio University was estimating back in 2007 that the majority of foreclosures taking place in the United States of America were being done without the correct paperwork. It is a huge, huge mess. One of the possibilities that I entertain here, and especially I felt was worth mentioning, apparently over the weekend, the cloud that we've been hearing so much about in cyberspace dumped a whole bunch of Hotmail emails and just sort of vanished and went away. This mortgage electronic registration system, what if there'd been a bug in it? What if it had been running on Vista? And if all of this destruction and disaster was due to bad software code? One way to look at it. We're going to take a break. We'll be back after these words from our sponsors.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Introducing the new Go Berkey Kit, the first of its kind portable water purification system for those on the go. The new Go Berkey system has an amazing output of about a gallon an hour. Each Go Berkey kit includes a 1-quart high-quality stainless steel system complete with a black Berkey purification element, a generic sports bottle, and a nylon carrying case. The whole kit weighs a mere 2.25 pounds. With an expected element life of around 3,000 gallons, you can refill the Go Berkey system up to an incredible 12,000 times before needing to replace the element. The new Go Berkey kit is perfect for backpacking, hiking, emergency packs, bug-out bags, international travel, car emergency kits, or for your desk at home or at work. Get your Go Berkey kit today for only $139 by calling 800-724-2719. That's 800-724-2719. Go to republicbroadcasting.org. The online store, it's a featured product.
The Grainmaker Grain Mill. Handmade goodness since 1999. Handcrafted stainless steel and high-quality alloys. There has not been a finer grain mill made right here in the great state of Montana. Hand-operated, the grain mill does it all. Wheat, corn, peanut butter, rye, rice, coffee, beans, flaxseed, all grain types. Make your own gluten-free flour. Experience the satisfaction of providing wholesome, nutritious foods for your family without additives or preservatives. Each mill is handcrafted with manufacturer's lifetime warranty. To order your grain mill, call us at 1-800-724-2719 or go to our online store, republicbroadcasting.org. Take a look at why this grain mill will be passed down through generation.
Warning for all Gulf Coast disaster survivors. Be aware that dangerous gases are in the air you breathe. Benzene, hydrogen sulfide, methylene chloride, and Corexit 9500. Keep your body clean with micro plant powder. For all Gulf Coast residents and all who want to be healthy, hempusa.org brings you a new formulation of micro plant powder with lactobacillus acidophilus, rebuilding your immune system while detoxing the rest of your body, pulling out positive toxins, heavy metals, viruses, fungus, bacteria, and parasites. Cleans and purifies the blood, lungs, stomach, and colon. Microplant powder will help eliminate these dangerous chemicals from the body used in the Gulf cleanup. At hempusa.org, we want you to try our number one selling detox product, Microplant powder. Call and order at 1-908-691-2608. 1-908-691-2608. Or visit us at hempusa.org today.
Some are maxed out all their credit cards. Some are working two jobs and living in cars. Minimum wage won't pay for a roof, won't pay for a drink. If you gotta have proof, just try it yourself, Mr. CEO. See how far 5:15 an hour will go. Take a part-time job at one of your stores. I bet you can't make it here anymore.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to our show here. And it's kind of interesting when we go out online and we engage in a debate with people over the state of the country and the state of the government, the state of Wall Street and everything. And there are a huge number of people who are out there who are either being paid to defend the status quo or who, because they personally profit from it, they're going to defend it. And they scream, oh, you're a hater and you're a communist and you're this and you're that. And they want things to stay exactly the way they are because under the current system, the money is flowing towards them with little or no effort, and they don't want anything to upset that. So it's a case of the money addicts being in control of our nation's government and our nation's economy. Now, remember the stock market. I mean, the very name, stock, as in livestock, it was originally an animal, farm animal brokerage, auction house. That's what the stock market means. You're buying and selling cattle and sheep and horses and ducks and chickens. That's what it originally meant. And it was supposed to be a means by which ordinary Americans could invest in and profit by the productivity of the nation, whether it was farm goods and then later manufactured goods. That was the logic and the rationale and the justification behind it all. But with the repeal of Glass-Steagall by the U.S. Congress in 1999, And you better believe they personally profited from this. Investment houses and banks were able to get into each other's businesses. And you had these large, so-called too-big-to-fail, too-big-to-jail banks have been playing speculation games, not with their own money, but with that of their depositors. And they started playing with these derivatives, which are these complex financial instruments that promise really huge returns when the market is booming up and more people are going into debt. But when the market reverses, those same long odds come back with a vengeance. And Wall Street turned around to the government and said, well, you know, hey, we're not responsible. You got to get the taxpayers to cover this. Because after all, that's what you did back in the 1980s with the SNL disaster. You know, I mean, George Herbert Walker Bush, the elder Bush, raised the deposit insurance limit for savings accounts from $10,000 to $100,000. And at the same time, the industry was deregulated, allowing savings and loans to engage in riskier investments, some of which promised a higher rate of return, but many of which failed and led to the SNL disaster. There was also a lot of outright criminality and fraud back then as well, just as Alan Greenspan admits is currently the case in Wall Street. And there was some outright money laundering activity going on as well that was tied in with Iran-Contra. And the way that worked with places like Morgan Guarantee and that whole situation. We know because of Eugene Hassenfuss that the Central Intelligence Agency was running a covert war in Nicaragua that was being funded by the proceeds from illegal drug sales here in the United States of America, cocaine. And there's nothing new with that. Covert intelligence agencies have been profiting off of drugs for a long time. Back during Vietnam, the CIA's Air America was smuggling heroin back to the United States inside the body bags of dead Vietnamese soldiers. They were making huge amounts of money in order to carry on operations outside the review of Congress, which is not the way CIA is supposed to operate, but they did it anyway. So back in Arkansas and that whole area, it was very simple. The cocaine would come in, and it would be sold, and the money would be blended with cash receipts from legitimately owned businesses that had a high cash turnover, like convenience stores, multi-screen cinemas. Oh, boy, the druggies love multi-screen cinemas, because you can have cash coming out of that box office and nobody's actually going in to make sure there's really a rear end in every one of those seats that you claim a ticket was sold for. So that money comes out of those multi-screen cinemas and those convenience stores and those office supply places, and it gets put into these numbered brokered accounts at the SNLs after the taxes have been paid. So far, so good. All right, so you've got all these numbered brokered accounts, you know, hundreds of them in this targeted savings and loan. And you get a piece of worthless land, and either you get an appraiser to basically overinflate its value, or you get somebody who's at the SNL to basically go ahead and authorize a huge loan, you know, based on that land as collateral. And it was very easy for the CIA to get people to do that, because they'd say, oh, we're the CIA and we're running an intelligence operation and we need you to loan money over here with this land as collateral, and you're a loyal American, and salute the flag and go ahead and sign the documents. And that would happen. So the money would be loaned. Now remember, the proceeds of a loan are not taxable. The money from that loan could then be sent anywhere in the world for any purpose whatsoever without investigation, without examination. Then the front company that took out that loan dissolves. The people leave. The loan defaults. The SNL is stuck with a worthless piece of land as collateral. They collapse. But the druggies are still on the books for those original deposits in the SNL. And here comes the Resolution Trust Corporation writing out checks on the taxpayers' credit card or checkbook, if you will, to make good on all those numbered brokered accounts. And by this simple trick over and over again, $10 million in drug money could be turned into $18 million of laundered, clean money ready to use anywhere in the world, and all on the backs of the U.S. taxpayer. No risk, didn't even have to go outside the border. That was the scam that was being run behind Iran-Contra. That's the kind of criminality that we're dealing with. Well, that was back in the 1980s, and the U.S. government just quietly made good on all these SNL accounts on the backs of the taxpayer. The media said, you know, oh, it's all for, you know, it's all widows and orphans and pensioners and all these poor people. We've got to take care of them. And it turned out 90% of the money was going to corporations and foreign depositors. And what the government did was really very simple. They sent out a promise because our manufacturing was already in decline. And people were already starting to say, we're not sure the U.S. is heading in a really good economic direction. And President George Herbert Walker Bush basically made a promise to the rest of the world and said, you can leave your money here in the United States of America. And if you make a profit, you get to keep it. But if you lose money through circumstances, you know, outside your control, we will make the American taxpayers make good on all the losses. That's what the SNL disaster was. It was a demonstration of that promise. And after that, of course, all this money was poured into the United States from despots and tyrants and dictators and organized crime from around the world because it's going to be safe here. And if they don't, the American would cover the losses. That is the essence of economic fascism. Under capitalism, profit and loss remain private. If you make money, you keep it. If you lose money, well, you know, tough noogies. Socialism, profit and loss are socialized. If you make money, it's taxed away and spread across the society. If you lose money, the losses are spread across society. That's socialism. Fascism is where profits are allowed to be kept private and only the losses are socialized. When Wall Street CEOs make a huge amount of money, they get to go out and buy themselves all the bling, you know, and hot and cold running call girls or call boys, as the case may be. But if they lose money, they go to the government, they get a bailout. And the losses are moved to the American people. That is economic fascism. All banana republics are inevitably fascist economic states. Lenin predicted that when capitalism failed in the United States, it would inevitably devolve into fascism, as it has. We're not a capitalist country. We're not a socialist country. We're fascist. By design, the money congregates to the very wealthy at Wall Street in Washington, D.C. And they just turn around and scream, well, it's your own fault, you're poor, to everybody else. And that's what all the bailouts were. That's what TARP was. Taking money from the people to cover the losses through bad business practices, greed and recklessness by Wall Street. And Congress went along with it because they themselves are personally invested with these too big to fail brokerages and banks. When the House of Representatives voted through TARP, they were voting to preserve and safeguard their own personal wealth on the backs of the American people. Now, really, in simplifying it down, in distilling it down to the very essence of what's been going on here, following the repeal of Glass-Steagall, Wall Street just decided we're going to be a giant open-air casino. Who cares about manufacturing or agriculture or any of that stuff? You can't make all that much money just actually making a product to sale. The big money is in the derivatives. The big money is in that casino, that spin of the wheel, the gaming of the system so that just billions and billions of dollars in hedge fund fees and derivatives payouts pour into our pockets because we're lucky and greed is good. After all, Gordon Gekko told us so. And while the economy was still booming up, and people were willing to go deeper and deeper into debt to prop up the bottom of that whole pyramid, it worked. And then the pyramid started to collapse. And Wall Street is screaming, oh, just because the rest of the nation has gone into a depression is no reason for us to suffer. You've got to take money from them and give it to us. And that's what the bailouts and TARP and all the rest of that has been about. And then the bankers have just destroyed the economy with their greed and recklessness, and they loot the rest of the nation to pay for the mistakes, and then they reward themselves with record bonuses and bling to congratulate themselves on how clever they were and how sneaky they were, and to reassure themselves that really this is the way the universe is supposed to be. It's real last days of Pompeii kind of stuff going on out there. And the government helped them do it. The government helped front load the mortgage-backed securities by dangling an $8,000 first-time homebuyer tax credit in front of homebuyers who probably shouldn't have done that in the first place. And then once the whole system was loaded up and the fraud became known and the banks were struggling to cover their losses, the U.S. federal government handed out tax credits to corporations to send your high-paying jobs overseas. And without that earning ability, Americans started losing their home. The government took your jobs so the banks could take your homes in order to cover the repurchase of the fraudulent mortgage-backed securities. It is that simple. And it is that straightforward. It is wealth confiscation done in a way to fool you into thinking it's your own fault. It is a huge mess. I don't see any way to take it back to the more honorable capitalistic system we used to have. I think we're going to have to go through a serious, serious transformative event before we can get back to a capitalist nation. But we certainly are not living in one right now. All righty, let's see. All right, I've talked about this enough, and I got a lot of people who want to talk about the situation in Arizona. Horrible, horrible tragedy. Saturday morning, first thing, Congresswoman Gabby Giffords was at a supermarket meet-and-greet event, you know, where you come and meet your member of Congress kind of a situation. And a young man by the name of Jared Lohner, talk about a weird coincidence of a last name there, Jared Lohner walked up and opened fire. He had a Glock 17, apparently, fired 17 rounds, emptied the clip, didn't miss once, inflicted massive amounts of damage. Gabriella is seriously, seriously wounded. She was shot in the head. That's not something you come back from very easily. Six other people died. Horrible tragedy. Now, as shocked as I am over the shooting, I am actually much more offended, sickened, disgusted by all the apparatchiks, the political opportunists who are shamelessly trying to exploit this tragedy for whatever political agenda they serve. The GOP is trying to blame the Democrats. The Democrats are trying to blame the Tea Party. This group is blaming Al-Qaeda. The ADL is blaming anti-Semites. The gun grabbers are having orgasms. They've got another bloody shirt to wave around. You know, yee-haw! You know, blame chemtrails. HAARP is to blame. UFOs, Bigfoot, Loch Ness Monster, I don't know. But there are a couple of aspects of this. First of all, because everybody is pointing the finger of blame in every other direction, it cancels each other out. The perception by the American public is it's a lot of noise. Nobody's gaining any traction to say, oh, it's the Democrats, it's the Republicans, it's whatever, it's the bloggers. We're getting a lot of that now. And it isn't. We didn't pull the trigger. Okay, and we didn't encourage him to pull the trigger. The guy's a nutcase. He had an altar in his backyard with a skull on it. He was kicked out of school for psychological problems, and they still let him buy a gun. There's your problem. The problem wasn't the gun. The problem was there are mentally ill people walking around the society because the funding for mental treatment has been gutted, along with everything else about the infrastructure. But whereas I grieve for the Congresswoman and her family and for all the other victims in Arizona, I am offended at all these soulless, inhuman opportunists who want to basically dance on her hospital bed and wave a banner around to try and get as much profit out of this as they can. So I have an idea. Let's take the Republicans who want to blame the Democrats for the shooting of Congresswoman Giffords. Let's take the Democrats who want to blame the Republicans. Let's take the ADL who wants to blame anti-Semites, the gun grabbers and the nuts and all the rest of them, and let's put them in a steel cage and each one gets a chainsaw. We sell tickets and donate the money to the families in Arizona. And whichever political operative comes out of the cage with the most body parts still intact, we all agree up front to blame whoever they say to blame for the tragedy, and then we all go back about our lives and go back to this whole thing about the mortgage-backed security fraud destroying the entire nation. which does actually impact our lives. But as we look around at all the finger-pointing going on, we understand that this Jared Lohner had issues here, and he's mentally deranged. But what is the excuse of all these people who are literally grabbing Congresswoman Gifford's body to wave around as a political banner? How do we justify their behavior as anything other than inhuman, insensitive political opportunism? I find it shocking and disgusting to see this kind of blatant attempt to politicize what is the act of a mentally unbalanced individual. We'll be right back.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Extend your life with
Extendovite. After my second heart attack, I knew I needed more help than I had. That's when Extendovite came into my life. Made from garlic, cayenne, and five other herbs, I started to feel better in a very short time. My name's Don Wiskin, and I'm here because of Extendovite.
Extendovite gave me more energy than I've had in years. I am the only one in my house right now that's not sick from colds or flus. And I owe that all to Extendovite. My name is Rick, and I'm healthy because of Extendovite. To get your Extendovite, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit the website at heartdrop.com. That's H-E-A-R-T-D-R-O-P. com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Are skyrocketing prescription costs draining your budget? If you don't have insurance or are taking medication not covered by insurance, the Powerhouse Savings Card can lower your prescription costs by up to 50%. Now you and your family can save 20 to 50% on all prescriptions. It's accepted by most pharmacies and mail order pharmacies nationwide. No prescription card is easier to use. Just show your card and save 20 to 50% right on the spot. There are no monthly fees, just a one-time processing fee of only $4.95 for you and your immediate family. Stop paying full price for prescriptions. Stop going without the medication you need because it costs too much. Now your family can get the prescriptions they need at a cost you can afford. Call 1-800-963-0232 now and start saving money with the Powerhouse Savings Card. Call 1-800-963-0232. 1-800-963-0232. 1-800-963-0232.
Welcome to What Really Happened Radio. Visit us online at whatreallyhappened.com. And now, set your eyes on the future and let's consider what really happened.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show here. We're about to lose our WWCR audience. So before they head off, I want to make a point about this situation in Arizona, because as I said earlier, the gun grabbers, they're having orgasms about, oh, we've got to disarm the people, we've got to do this, we've got to do that. And Napolitano is saying, we've got to take TSA to the next level and so forth and so on. Okay, well, here's the reality of what's going on. There are crazy people all over the world. This Jared Lohner had been kicked out, was on the verge of being kicked out of school. They were saying, you can't come back until you get a psychological evaluation. His friends on Twitter were saying he was out there. He had some bad wiring, and that does happen. And especially in our society where funding for mental hospitals has been cut, there are a lot of people who have been let go into our society who really probably ought not to be there, who ought to be cared for. And that's just a reality. Between chemical assaults and bad genetics, and just getting dropped on your head by the OB, there are people out there with some bad wiring. We have 2% of the population are sociopaths, and unfortunately, most of them are in government. There are crazy people out there, and that's a reality. And here's what you need to remember. In the coming weeks, you're going to hear all this talk about increased security and increased protection and banning guns and more controls on the American people. But we already have a lot of that, and none of it worked. The Department of Homeland Security did not stop Jared Lohner. The guy had a history of mental problems, and they didn't do a thing about him. Same thing with TSA. We're unable to protect Congresswoman Giffords. The police were not able to stop this attack. The FBI was not able to stop this attack. They're never able to stop the attack because they're never there when the event occurs. The police and the FBI and all the rest of these uniformed and badged bozos show up after the fact to clean up the mess and act like somehow this is the way things are supposed to be. There is one and only one way that this disaster might have been minimized. Not prevented, but minimized. Had there been one person in that crowd carrying a firearm besides Jared Lohner himself, Jared Lohner would not have pulled that trigger 17 times. He would have pulled it only once. Gun control does not reduce crime. Gun control increases crime. All the way back to the founding fathers, intelligent, reasoned people have understood that laws to ban firearm ownership only disarm the law-abiding. The criminals will always have guns. It's easy to come by guns. Anybody with any chemistry and machine shop knowledge can make firearms. It's very easy to do. I build black powder firearms myself as a hobby. I know how easy it is to do. And if you're in a society where nobody's allowed to have a gun, even a flintlock single-shot pistol allows you to commit criminal actions. So when you hear all this talk about we must have more police, we must have more FBI, we must have more gun control, we already had that, and none of it worked. Not one bit. Those people are still wounded and dead. Despite all the police, all the money on Department of Homeland Security, all the money on TSA, in the years since 9/11, we finally have a real act of terror, by any reasonable definition of the word, occurring in the United States, and nobody was able to stop it. If anything, it tells us that the money spent on DHS and Homeland Security and police departments and FBI is a complete waste of taxpayer money. The real villains are in Wall Street. Again, there isn't a terrorist in the world with an atomic bomb who could have destroyed America as much as Wall Street and the Congress did over the last 10 years. We'll be right back after the station ID.